we welcome Congressman Chris Gibson. He's now running in a congressional district that would make him, if elected again, the congressman for Western Montgomery County. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Bob. Good to be back with you. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
See, in the morning papers, you're up in Saratoga County, something that's probably near and dear to your heart because of your military experience. What to do about returning soldiers? The president over in Afghanistan yesterday, be interested in your comments on that and whether how you feel the Obama administration has handled the anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. But the president is talking about, and in fact, soldiers are returning home. How are they doing when they get back here?
Well, Bob, it's actually a mixed story. We have some servicemen and women who come back who are very effectively reintegrating back into the community, in some cases going to school and getting to the top of the class, in other cases opening up their own small business. There's no shortage of incredible success stories. But at the same time, there are also some veterans who are falling through the cracks that are not making a successful transition. Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat from Vermont, myself, we have teamed up to work an initiative that initially was started in the National Guard. It's called the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program, and it's been pretty darn effective, and we are looking at that as a construct to try to expand out to better provide for transition for servicemen and women who come from the active force. The issue there is that, particularly in New York State, we have a system set up where we have veteran service officers in each one of the counties that work veterans issues, but they at times do not have the situational awareness to know when recently transitioned servicemen and women come back home to our community. So I've been working with the DOD and the Department of Veterans Affairs to more closely align their activities and to provide more heads up for our veteran service officers when these individuals get back home. Because, you know, the Congress, in a very bipartisan way, has passed a number of initiatives to help returning veterans, but it's not the case that returning veterans are always taking advantage of these programs, whether it be the new GI Bill, which is a great educational initiative to help our veterans returning, or whether it's even job placement and assistance. Like, for example, today, my office is co-hosting with Columbia Green Community College a jobs fair. We're promoting it today. It's actually taking place Thursday, tomorrow, May 3rd. And that's going to go from 10 to 3. But the first hour is exclusively dedicated to veterans, 10 to 11. If you have any veterans out there listening today, certainly welcome you to come down to Columbia Green Community College. We have about 70 small businesses and in fact, some large businesses, including GE, Global Foundries, and Time Warner. Bring your resume, because a good number of these businesses are actually in the Albany area, so a decent, you know, not a a very long commute from Up County and from Montgomery County. So, I mean, these are some of the initiatives I'm working both legislatively very distinctly here in upstate New York to help our returning veterans. And so, let me just state that right up front.
Okay. The program that was described in the paper this morning is called the Respite Program of Saratoga County. Is this the same thing you've been talking about?
Yeah.
Or no?
No, that's actually a different program. Respite, deeply appreciate this initiative brought forward by the Saratoga County Chamber of Commerce. What it did is it put together a series of options for returning families for recreation and rest it. So, for example, overnight stays at hotels, complimentary dinners and lunches, passes to museums. And, you know, I'll tell you, Bob, coming back myself on multiple deployments, there's that initial euphoria, you're reintegrating, reuniting with family. And you know, family is going through certainly looking for opportunities to have shared experiences. And in some cases, in-laws come in so that the man and woman can get an overnight stay together somewhere nearby. So this initiative put together by the Chamber of Commerce is particularly welcome because it is very helpful and enjoyable to our families who are getting reunited. So yesterday was an opportunity to actually thank the folks who participated in this program, the small business owners throughout Saratoga County. We had great representation there from the New York National Guard, which allowed us to thank them as well. Mm-hmm. But this program lasted for 3 months, the reviews from it from families who have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan have been especially strong and positive, and it matches my experience when I was serving at both Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that's in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and also with the 25th Infantry Division out in Hawaii. But in both cases, the communities, when we returned from overseas, from Iraq, these communities had similar programs, and my paratroopers just especially appreciated these programs and felt certainly felt the gratitude and respect that the community was providing.
Republican Congressman Chris Gibson joins us. I mentioned that because, and I said I would ask you about this, the President, Barack Obama, who's a Democrat and running for re-election, has done several things in connection with the wars overseas the past week or two that's raised some controversy. Number one, he's got a controversial ad out using former Democratic President Bill Clinton praising the Obama for the killing of Osama bin Laden and questioning whether his Republican opponent would have done the same. And then yesterday, the president made one of those quick trips in and out of Afghanistan on the day of the anniversary. Has the Obama administration, how do you think the Obama administration has handled the anniversary of the killing of bin Laden?
Well, look, I mean, certainly the president deserves credit as our commander-in-chief for ordering the raid against Osama bin Laden. And as I have said many times before, I think with regard to Iraq and Afghanistan, he has brought forward effective policies. Here we are now after many long years, some of them very hard and difficult. We are now completed in Iraq. We've completed our objectives, and we are on course to complete our objectives in Afghanistan by 2014. So, certainly the president deserves credit there. But what I think we should be reflecting on the one-year anniversary of the raid against Osama bin Laden is just being very thankful that we have servicemen and women that are willing to come forward and protect our freedoms, professionals in the intelligence community, the law enforcement agencies, our first responders. We are so incredibly fortunate to have servicemen and women who come forward, and we should be celebrating their competence, their compassion, their courage, and their effectiveness, overcoming very severe challenges to be able to successfully accomplish things such as the raid against bin Laden, and also to accomplish the objectives in Iraq after many difficult years. And beyond reflecting on that, I also think it's important to look forward at a moment like this to recognize that while we have the initiative against Al-Qaeda, there's still a very potent force that's in the Arabian Peninsula that's gaining in their own stature there in Yemen, and they have very much an intent to attack America. And already there have been a couple of attacks that we have thwarted that have come from that region. And I'm talking specifically about the Christmas Day bomber of 2009. A young man who was radicalized from Africa and trained in Yemen, who got on an aircraft in Europe and was en route to Detroit, had lit himself on fire. And it wasn't our system that actually saved us. It was actually a brave soul that was on the aircraft that put the fire out, that put it out. So, I think we should be thankful at this point, but also recognize that we are in need of comprehensive national security establishment reform to both make us safer. And I think the last time I was on the show, I talked about that. I think that we can do more to consolidate the intelligence community and to better integrate it with the Special Operations Command. But that will also allow us to change the posture of our forces, specifically those forces, land forces that are stationed overseas, to bring them back to the United States, mm-hmm. To recognize that while we need presence to keep open access to sea lanes and markets, that's a maritime responsibility. And that we change our posture with regard to the Department of Defense, and we work actions across mm-hmm. the national security mm-hmm. establishment, which includes the intelligence community, the DOD, and the Department of Homeland Security, we can be safer for less cost. So you know, that's really where I think the focus should be as we reflect on the anniversary of the successful raid against Osama bin Laden.
In fact, I heard one of those ever-present military pundits on one of the network news shows saying that, we've really transitioned from what we in America think of as a war, you know, such as Vietnam. You know, you go, you come back, and, you know, it's done. It's just an ongoing series of conflicts, but not anything that's an all-consuming war. I mean, it's probably wouldn't be wise to send great quantities of soldiers over to Yemen to try to stabilize that country, but to try to work at it another way.
Well, absolutely, and this is in line with what I'm suggesting here for reform, is better integrating the intelligence community with the Special Operations Command. Because, Bob, you know, that situation I just described moments ago about the Christmas Day bomber, what's particularly concerning about that situation, well, a couple things. One is, our system didn't save us there. It was a brave soul that did. But the other thing is that this lad's father called our country weeks before that. The dad was a doctor in East Africa and called our country and said, "My son, I don't recognize him. He's talking crazy. He could attack your country." So we actually got an advance warning about this young man, but yet we were not agile enough in the way that we processed information into actionable intelligence and then linked it with an operations arm so that we could have taken action to thwart this at the outset instead of while this young man was on an aircraft en route to our country. So let me say that. And then the other piece of this is to recognize, and it sort of reminds me of, the whole discussion of, whether it be Vietnam or even the situation in Iraq, is often described by defense intellectuals as a low-intensity conflict. And there's some meaning to that in terms of the way the country approaches these challenges, but I can just tell you that when you're getting shot at, there's nothing low-intensity about it. So we should also recognize that while we should approach this in a smarter way, that we should be very thankful for the servicemen and women, those in the intelligence community, in our law enforcement agencies, our first responders, because they put themselves in danger every day to protect our freedom.
Well, Congressman Gibson, I thank you for joining us, unless there's something else you wanted to bring up this morning.
Well, let me just say a couple things very quickly. First of all, I'm really enjoying, I've had several trips to Up County over the last couple of weeks. I've met some wonderful folks. I've had a chance to hear firsthand from the folks who live up in Up County, the kind of representation that they're looking for in the United States Congress. Also, I've met the leadership from all the supervisors in the five towns that I'm going to represent, and I really valued their input, and I look forward to future visits where I can continue to work those very important events, where I continue to stay in touch with Montgomery County. And then, as I mentioned, the jobs fair going on Thursday, May 3rd, at Columbia Green Community College. Bring a resume. We've got about 70 small businesses, a great opportunity for those that are looking for jobs to make connection with folks who are actually hiring. And then finally, I have a Lyme disease symposium coming up at Skidmore College on the 21st of May to look at prevention, testing, treatment, and insurance coverage. Certainly an important issue for us in upstate New York. So, Bob, thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you. God bless you and all the listeners out there, and hope to be back on again soon.
Thank you, Congressman Gibson. Have a good day.